The views expressed are not necessarily those of 1010XL 92.5 FM. Now, Compton and Company, brought to you by United Rentals on 1010XL. Here's your host, Ron Compton.
It annoys me as we as the inner Sandman is going to bring us in on this outstanding.
Sorry if you heard me order.
Saturday afternoon. And we're here at the old house in Centertown. We have Sierra taking care of us today. And Chuck's ordering food. And he's ordering it. He ordered every time. It drives me crazy. He orders a steak well done. I mean, are you going to get ketchup on it as well? Have
not
ketchup as all serving? Come on. What are you doing, Chuck?
Something raw.
Goodness gracious. Just cook all of that flavor out of
it. Yep, that's right. Cook
it out. Lord. Come on, man.
I say cook.
I even noticed Sierra laughed and rolled her eyes when you ordered that thing. See, she says medium rare. When you order that well done, she kind of rolled her eyes, turned her head, and said, my God, what is this guy doing? See? Just saying. All right, we heard the old house in Tinseltown. Glad to have you along with us, talking sports with you for a solid 2 hours. Boy, oh, boy. Good week for the Gators, Chuck. Good week for the Gators. You know, and you know what? I don't talk enough Florida sports on this program.
Nah,
you know, I don't. I've been accused of, man, Ron, why don't you talk Gators on your show? My man, I guess I'll have to this weekend. I know that excites you, Chuck. You used to be a Gator.
No, Spurrier Gator.
Yeah, Spurrier Gator. Spurrier Gator, it's true. But, no, look, a lot going on. NBA playoffs, rolling right along. How about – who would have thought – you know what? I'm gonna give credit to one of our colleagues on our network who's really having an outstanding week. That's if Orlando can finish the deal against the Cavs. Is Ryan the Hacker Green? You know, I've heard the commercials, the weight loss commercials, a lot of the guys that are using on our station. I'm not going to mention the name because they're not paying us any money. I mean, people know who they are. Awaken maybe 360, maybe it's 180, something like that. But Awaken 180. They're all on this stuff, man. Hacker's lost like 50 pounds. His Orlando Magic are one game away from advancing to the semifinals in the Eastern Conference. So, good for him.
So, is that another? What's the seeding? What are the Cavaliers seeded?
I think it's a 3-6.
Are they tied 3-all?
Yes.
Because remember the first game was last. We were up here maybe last Saturday. Hell, maybe it's Saturday. I don't know. NBA playoffs go so long. But I think the first game, Cleveland blew out Orlando by 25-30
points.
Yeah, that
is true.
And I said, well, I think this series is done, and I guess not. So,
I tell you what.
Talk about.
A honey of his series starts today. Anthony Edwards and the T-Wolves take on the Joker in Denver. That starts today. That's going to be a fun one. That's going to be a lot of fun. It's 7 o'clock tonight on TNT.
It just takes so long to get down to the semifinals.
Idea for the Lakers. They fired Darvin Ham. You know, I'm sure LeBron said that we need to fire this coach as well. Look, the Lakers already come out and said, "Hey, LeBron, please stay. You can name the coach. Who do you want us to trade for? We'll draft Bronny in the first round. Whatever you want us to do." We're all in. Please stay. Hell, let LeBron coach. Let him be Bill Russell. But let him be a player coach. Why
Magic
not?
Magic Johnson.
Just why not? Magic Johnson.
Magic coach
would
play at the same
why
time?
Why not?
Or
let's
did he
go.
Just coach? He wasn't playing when he coached.
No.
I can't remember. Mm-mm. Okay. Well,
why not? Just
is there
ahead.
Any reason to keep LeBron now other than for the name? I mean, he can't help you win a championship. His son's not going to be that good, I don't think.
At some point in time, a lot of it has to do with selling things and stuff. But no, look, as much as I jump on LeBron James and a lot of the things that he's very ignorant. He's a very ignorant person. A lot of the things that he says, you know, that are just wrong, and he decides to not say, "Hey, you know what, my bad, I was wrong," and using this huge platform of his for, you know, the betterment of stuff, he doesn't. But that's off the court. On the court, man, the dude's 39 years old, and he's doing things that no 39-year-old grown-ass man should be able to
now
do.
Back off the court, No legal issues. Hasn't been
No legal issues. No legal issues. But a lot of the social stuff, and he's come out and said that he was completely in the wrong about and ignorant towards. He'd come out and he blasted the men in blue, right? Then you find out, you see the whole story. The whole Jacob Blake, is that his name? The guy,
yeah, I don't
wherever
remember
it was. He goes, and the cops were on the right, and they blasted the cops, and then you see the rest of the video, and they don't back off and say, hey, you know what, my bad, about that.
On either side, nobody apologizes. Nobody comes out and says, you know what, I was wrong.
But, you know, when you have a platform like that, and you have so many people that follow you and hang on every word that you say, you owe it. You owe it as a public service to come out and admit when you might be wrong about something. You owe it to the people. You do. If with that large, me or you, know, we don't have that large platform, but he does. He does. People hang on that. And it's okay to admit when you're wrong. And you say, and they do. Sometimes people say, you know what, my bad. I was wrong about that. My bad. People have done that in the past. Look, and the whole stuff with China, hey, you're messing with our money. You know, you're okay as long as it's financially feeding your pockets. And he's not the only one that was like that when it came to, said, hey, we love China. Keep slaving the people away.
And
keep practicing genocide over there as long as you keep paying us money.
Very popular. NBA is very popular in China.
I get it.
That's why they bowed out to him.
Well, and that's shame on them for that. That's wrong. Yeah. That's wrong. When it was a Daryl Morey, the GM, to come out and said, hey, man, that's wrong. You know, he got in trouble for that. Anyway, but on the court, the dude is unbelievable. He's outstanding on the court, man. My gosh. 39 years old, doing things that a 39-year-old shouldn't do. And to say that he can't help them win an NBA championship, I'd say is wrong. I think the window's closing. Boy, that window's ever closing, no doubt about that. But AD played all year, remained healthy. The talk is they're going to go try to maybe make a play for Trae Young. If you were to bring him in as to be your distributor, I don't know. I mean, look, I would say that the majority of their eggs are in a singular basket. You know, it's almost like the Suns have three guys. They got Durant, Booker, and Bill, and nobody else. Right? It's like the Lakers. You know, they've got, you know, D'Angelo Russell had a decent regular season, but fell apart in the postseason. But outside of D'Angelo, a little bit of Austin Reeves, and of course LeBron, and AD, they had nothing. They had nothing. So I don't know. But I think that he might have one more run in him with some decent offseason acquisitions made. But we have poll questions today, Chuck Elliott. We have poll questions. And all brought to you by our fine, our good friends at All-Site Contracting. Again, for any roll-off container needs, you need a dumpster, you're cleaning out the garage, or having a roofing job done, or if you have a large commercial project, you're unhappy with who's providing you with your roll-off container / dumpsters now, get my friends at All-Site Contract and call Amy at 574-9000, 574-9000. If you don't get your can the very next day, it's free. So what questions do we have, Casey Dobson, today? There are fine folks at All-Sider sponsoring.
Yeah. First of all, let me ask one Chuck. Chuck, let me ask you, what's today? What's today, Chuck?
Today or the date?
Today. What is today?
Saturday.
Okay.
What is going? Today?
May the 4th be with you for you Star Wars.
Let's go. Let's go. Okay, because
I saw the first Star Wars. I haven't seen any others. How's
really?
That? I never saw Return of the Jedi or Empire Strikes Back or any of the movies they released later on.
Chuck.
I'm not a geek.
For all of the useless knowledge that Chuck has and all of the things that he sort of – I marvel at times, some things I'm like, really, Chuck? Are you serious right now? Like he's only seen the first Star Wars and
saw it
nothing else. He's never seen It's a Wonderful Life. I just don't understand it. And some of his sports takes, of course, you know, always.
And neither has RJ either. He says he did, but a couple weeks ago. I still don't believe
it. He said he watched it all. I don't believe it. He liked it. All right, so let's go. Let's roll with him, Casey Dobson.
So our first question of the day, brought to you by Allside Contracting, Inc., is who would you rather have at quarterback on your 2024 college team? Your choices are DJ Uiagalelei, Cam Ward, or Graham Mertz. Gentlemen.
All right.
Y'all got to vote. Y'all going to vote?
Go ahead, Chuck. Go ahead and vote, Chuck.
Cam Ward. I mean, I don't even know why this is a question.
And Chuck's never seen Cam Ward throw a football in his entire life. People that know football. People that know football also said Ryan Leaf was going to be a Hall of Famer.
I contend that if I could just pull out the memory card out of your brain and plug it back in and you knew nothing and you just weren't a Gator fan, you just no previous information, you would take Cam Ward over Graham Mertz.
This is what I would say.
You took the Gator aspect out of it.
This is what I would counter with, all right? I would say that if I was a fan of another team and Cam Ward and Graham Mertz, I looked at both their 2023 seasons with their respective schools, I could make arguments for both of them as far as – and I'd be okay with either. But the reason I propose this question is the fact that you made it seem as like, oh my God, how could you even ask such a thing?
Well, that's how it is.
Hold on, it's 100%. My gosh,
it
should be Cam Ward, and anybody that thinks otherwise is stupid. Well, you're stupid, Chuck. Okay, because now, and if I'm a, but I could have asked it this way: if you were the Florida Gators, who would you rather have as your quarterback of those three going into this year? And it's 1,000,000%.
Oh, great.
Graham Mertz, because he's already there.
So what?
And he had a very good 2023 season. He was the best of the three quarterbacks last year from a overall, but they were all close.
Hey, Kay.
They were all close.
Hey, Casey, I told a joke of a friend of mine, Rod, this morning. I said, if Patrick Holmes called Florida and said, I'm quitting the Chiefs, so I'm coming to Florida, Rod said, nope. Sorry, Mertz has been in the system
a year. No, that's not it. No, you're stupid, Chuck. You're a dummy right now.
And I know what Rob would tell me. Rob would say, well, you know, Mahomes wasn't that good in college. He definitely wasn't as good
as
Mertz.
No, this is what I was
going to roll with.
No, that's just dumb. Okay, now you're being silly. What I would say is responses to our Twitter poll question, and the guy says, Carson Beck. Well, of course Carson Beck. Sure, I'll take Carson Beck all day long. Of course I would.
Hold on. Now I'm really confused.
What do you mean you're really confused?
Don't you think Cam Ward's a better quarterback than Carson Beck?
No.
No?
No. Are you stupid?
He's
Carson
on a heck
Beck,
of a team.
Carson Beck is the number one overall pick next year in the draft.
No, Deion.
Yes.
No, Deion Sanders.
No, he's not.
Yes,
Sanders isn't.
Yes.
You know what? He's a punk and so is his dad. Deion and Shador are both punks, okay? Deion is a con artist who's going to be out of coaching after this season anyway.
And on to the Cowboys.
Okay? No, he's not. And no, Shador isn't going number one.
You don't think so?
I think Carson Beck's going number one overall.
Carson? Really?
Yes, I do. Yes,
wow.
I do.
You think he...
Absolutely. And you know me, I hate Georgia. I hate Georgia and everything about him, but I can be non-biased as well and give you the opinion that I believe. And Carson Beck's the best college football quarterback. He's an unbelievable pro prospect.
Is he? Really?
Yes. Oh, my God. Do you not follow sports? Why are you on this show? Why don't you go get on the music show so we're named that tune in 12 notes?
I'd rather be on that show.
Dear Lord. What are you here for?
Look, I listen to a lot of sports.
I can't wait till your shrimp comes out so I can at least eat your food.
Number one overall pick.
I
think that when you think game manager, I could be wrong. I might be wrong.
You know what? My blood pressure is usually like 125 over like 75.
Mine's fine right now.
I think when I talk to you, when I'm done, I should have a little machine right here, probably 190 over 160. You have that effect on
me,
Chuck.
Number one overall pick.
You and my ex-wives.
Wow.
You and my ex-wives. My God.
I'm going to get to the second one. Take a deep breath.
Carson,
my boy.
Good Lord.
Hey, tell us what the results are. We haven't heard yet. Tell us where we stand this far.
Leading the way right now is Graham Mertz, actually.
Oh, we're all dumb,
53%.
Chuck. And all the listening audience.
No Gator Homer's right there.
80 votes in, 53% Graham Mertz. I guess everyone, they're all dumb too, right, Chuck? The
Gator homers is what
they're Gator homers. Okay, that's
what
right.
they are.
That's what they are. Okay. All right. Okay.
All right. So the second question of the day.
This oh, one, you know what, Chuck gonna be mad about this question. By the way, he's gonna be mad. Yeah,
mad?
I'll tell
okay.
you. Yeah, he'll be mad. I'll tell you what. Go ahead.
Okay.
Please, right. I love this. It's gonna piss him off.
The second question ties in a little bit to today's date as we celebrate. May the 4th be with you, except for Chuck, who's never watched another Star Wars film except
for the original. That's all you needed.
That's all you needed. All right.
That's so all you needed. That's all you needed.
He will understand that with Tom Brady being the Grand Master Jedi, a.k.a. Yoda, who would you want being your quarterback Jedi Master to train you? Your choices are Peyton Manning, Joe Montana, Roger Staubach, or Johnny Unitas?
Why would that make you mad, Chuck? Why would this question make you mad?
Oh, because you didn't put the greatest NFL quarterback in there?
Yeah. He's a damn Reno's in on that list. Would you put – and I like what Casey did with his question is he took – obviously, you know, there's no argument who the GOAT is. It's Tom Brady.
You already told – well, not that list he is, but you've already told me Patrick Mahomes is –
Patrick Mahomes is going to go down as the greatest quarterback of all time.
Well, he's got
He will. I believe that.
But as long as Grant Burns makes it to the league,
that's
it's
true.
Over
that's
for
true.
Mahomes.
He may get his gold jacket right now. Get a Heisman bus going right now, and the gold jacket coming. But no, I would say that what I like about Casey's question, or actually not so much a question as the options. He took a quarterback, you know, that was four different decades. You know, Johnny U, then Staubach, then Montana, and then Manning. So I'm going to guess it's all about a recency bias here. I'm going to
so
say
you used,
that
what, the 50s, 60s, Staubach, the 70s,
yeah,
Montana, 80s,
then 80s,
Brady,
and then
Brady, 2000s.
Yeah, well, not Brady, Montana. Manning. Manning in the 2000s.
Yeah.
That's what you meant.
Same.
I know what you mean. So I'll bet you that based on, again, recency biased here, that Manning's probably number one. I'm going to say that Montana's probably number two. Roger the Dodgers, number three. And Johnny, you bringing up the rear. Would I be correct in that?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get your applause.
Yeah. That's what I would think of the recency bias. Look, and they're different eras. You know, sometimes it's hard to compare quarterbacks. A lot of people would tell you Johnny U is the best of all time with what he did, you know, way back when. As a Cowboys fan, I marvel at the things that Roger Staubach did. I didn't see him a lot as a little kid. I just seen him, you know, obviously I seen him in the latter part of his career, the Super Bowl win against the Broncos, and I loved meeting Roger Staubach. And then, of course, Montana was Montana, man. And
college for Johnny Unitas?
College for Johnny Unitas.
Yes. I thought it was sports. Why do I have you on this show?
Very nicely done, Chuck. That was good.
Oh, yes.
That was good. I like that. Let me think about that during the break.
All right.
Let me think about that.
That doesn't mean look it up.
I'm not going to look it up. You see, I'm right here. I'm not looking it up. All right, we'll come back and talk more sports with you, discuss the poll questions. And Chuck came in with something else dumb. He said that, I think looking back, after listening to some people that he thinks are smart, that maybe the Falcons didn't error in drafting Michael Penix Jr. We'll discuss that as well. Oh, and the Braves ticked me off last night. What in the world were they thinking?
I stayed up all night.
I did too.
My gosh, bro.
I did too.
I'm so frustrated. With our 1-4 batters, I'm upset.
Yeah.
I'm
well,
tired of them.
I'll tell you what really upset me last night as the game ended, and it's elementary coaching 1A and the Braves' error last night. At the game in situation. We'll discuss that more from the L House in Tinseltown on 1010 XL. Can you whip, Chuck? Can you whip or nay-nay, Chuck? Is it the song he has his headset on? Can you whip? Can you whip? Can you? Ooh. Watch me. Ooh, I can do it.
You can.
I've been in a club and done that.
I don't know how you do
it. Believe it or not, I've done it. I've done it. Yes. I don't know if I should really admit to that, but, you know, have a few drinks in you, you're in the club hanging out, a little dancing on like a cruise ship, and you see other people doing it, say, you know what, I'll go do that. And Chuck, I bet you Chuck did the stinky leg, can't you, Chuck? You stinky leg, Chuck?
I don't know.
Y'all need to look up what that means.
Oh, can you do the stink? Can you do the stinky leg? I know what it means. but the dance move is a little different than what it means. So we are at the Old House in Tinseltown. Glad to have you along with us. Talking sports up to 2 o'clock. 641-1010, 641-1010. Phone lines, text lines open to you. Poll questions are out there as well. One college football quarterback related. The other is QB, may the fourth be with you. Related, so go check them out. Sponsored by All Site Contracting in Twitterverse. So yeah, like you last night, Casey Dobson, as Chuck was, you know, dreaming about Cam Ward. You Cam Ward and Jimmy Garoppolo go hang out together. You have crushes on both of them, I guess. That's okay.
It's I was actually at Fred's house. We're watching the Rays Mets game. Yeah, if you must know.
Okay. Well, but no, I'm talking about 1:15 in the morning.
Oh, 1:15 in the morning.
Yeah. Me and Casey Dobson were grinding things out watching the
Braves-Dodgers.
Braves-Dodgers last
night.
Yeah.
That started at 10:15, right?
Yeah. So, Acuna's kind of snapped out of it last night a little. Had a single in the first inning. Then had a home run later on to get a second of the year. Charlie Morton made one bad pitch last night. For some reason, dude for the Dodgers was swinging at curveballs 2 feet out of the zone. And good old Chuck Morton, after he laid off two curveballs, decided to throw a fastball belt high, and it went a long way. But then at the end of the game, it's 2-2 in extra innings. What really bothered me was I'm going to ask Chuck this, Casey, and I'll ask you this as well. I'm going to ask both of you guys this. All right, when he runs at third base, runners at the corners, get one out. One out, runners at the corners. When he run, walk-off run is at third base. How should you align your defense? I'll let you go first, Casey.
You definitely want to have men, and you want to make sure that, you know, you also want to make sure that you got second base covered because there was only two outs at that – or one out at that point,
there's,
right?
There's one out. That's one out. That's correct.
Yeah, you want to make sure that you also got the second base covered by both your other infielders. That way you can turn that double play if the ball goes to the right or to the left of, you know, your shortstop and your second
baseman.
Okay.
All right. What would you say, Chuck?
When he runs on third.
Okay, first and third.
When he runs on third.
One out, yes. Well, how should your defensive alignment be?
Well, you got to be shallow because if it gets over your – if you play deep, and you catch it deep, it doesn't matter.
Ding, 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 ding. Okay, so infield, corners in, middle's back to roll two, outfielders play Texas League. All right, they play in. That's simple. That's all you do, right? That's not what the Braves did last night. Yes, infield was aligned properly. The corners were in, middle was back. Michael Harris was playing his normal depth in the outfield. So the ball, dude gets jammed. So the ball ends up dropping between second base and center field. If they play in like they should, it's an easy, they catch the fly ball easily, and now they're two outs and game on. Game plays on. I don't know what the hell the Braves are thinking. Did they not go to baseball coaching academies? What are we doing, Snitker? I love you, Brian Snitker. I love it. I love you. I love what you guys have done. But that was stupid. And for the players, you know what? You shouldn't have to, you know, I'm going to give you the little signal here, okay? Over your head, hand goes over the head. You know, that means back him up. You pull up the X. Okay, that means come in. That means halfway, bring it in. The coaching staff shouldn't have to do that. You should know. I tell my kids that I'm coaching, you've got to know it's situational baseball. You've got to know that you've got to come in here. You go play your normal depth. You catch a fly ball like you said, Chuck. Sack fly RBI, game's over. Right? You catch it, the game's over anyway. So you come in. Just made no dang sense
to
me.
I
sat for 3 hours for that.
I was about to ask, in the morning, is that on the coaches? Because shouldn't the players at the major league level know that automatically? Or if they don't do it themselves – Is it the coach's responsibility to say, hey, scooch up some, as they say, scooch
up? It's on both. It's on both. The players should know. The players should know. But guess what? With as many coaches as they have, the bench coaches, you know what? You've got a guy that's usually in charge of your infielders moving those guys around. I mean, look, positioning players. Look, it's not by coincidence, Chuck and Casey, when you see a hard ground ball right up the middle, it was typically a base hit. All of a sudden, you see the second baseman playing right there. I mean, because they've done their homework. They pretty much know where balls are being hit, right? So there's a reason for that. So you've got bench coaches that should be helping align players. Hey, you know, corners in, middle back, you know, give them a certain signal. Again, the outfield, hand over the head is the universal sign for back up. The X in the air, universal signal for come in a little bit. They didn't do that. Someone has to do that, man. It ticks me off as a fan. I sat for 3.5 hours to watch that. Would have been at 1:30.
When you tell that story, it reminds me of, I told you this before on the air, about the 92 NLCS Game 7. Remember Andy Van Slyke said he told Barry Bonds to come up. And Barry Bonds basically said, you know, fire truck you, and that's
– Yeah, right. Yeah.
So he's like, all right. Yeah. Well, Van Slyke told that story on the documentary. Come on, Barry, you got to come in, because if you're out, if you're deep in the outfield, they're
yes.
going to score.
Yes. All right, so now on to the NFL. Last weekend, or last, I guess, Thursday night, which rolled into the weekend, one of the most puzzling draft picks I've ever seen was Atlanta Falcons drafting Michael Penix Jr. And it's not about Michael Penix Jr. at all. It's not about him whatsoever, man. I mean, he's fine. I mean, look, I like him as a player, watch him at Washington and all that. I mean, I like him. I like Penix Jr., yeah. So this isn't an indictment on his game whatsoever. But still, what the hell are the Falcons thinking?
Well,
okay, if you decide to give Kirk Cousins 4 years for 180 with $100 million of it being completely guaranteed, then you don't sign Michael Penix. If you know that you're interested in Michael Penix and you're going to draft him, again, these things happen 6 weeks apart. It's not like this is 6 months apart. It's 6 weeks apart. So I'm sure upon the signing of Kirk Cousins, the Atlanta Falcons knew that they liked Michael Penix Jr. In fact, there's been reports this week that the Falcons had him second behind Caleb Williams on their draft board at the quarterback position. So they certainly liked him. So then why sign Kirk Cousins? Why not go out and trade, give up a six-round pick for, I don't know, Justin Fields, right? Let him come in and be the bridge quarterback for Michael Penix instead of giving all that money to Kirk Cousins. It's just dumb. You can't do both. You should do one or the other. You don't do both. It's the dumbest draft pick I've ever seen. Well, and I've seen a lot of drafts in my life, Chuck.
So what about this? Let's say they love Michael Penix. One yep. theory floated out there, love Michael Penix. Mm-hmm. They've got Kirk Cousins.
Yep.
They're going to be so good with him. They're not going to have the chance to draft a quarterback this high for many years because they're going to be so darn good with Cousins. You know, so when Cousins is older, so when you need a quarterback in a few years, you've got your guy there. You'll be drafting 31.
But isn't the plan to win right now?
It is.
And under that, and I get Cousins coming off of an ACL. I get that as well, right? I understand that. But still, man, I mean, to me, you go out and you need to retool your defense. The offensive line's very good. I mean, you look at the two-headed monster last year, Bijan Robinson and company in the backfield. I think they might have been second behind the Ravens in rushing yards last year. So the rushing attack is good. Offensive line's good. Go help some, you know, go maybe get him another, I don't know.
I was critical of it, as we all
maybe
were.
Go draft Dunze or Brock Bowers.
But you have to, well, they say you have to wait 3 years to grade a draft, so in that case, don't you have to do it? If Penix ends up being an all-pro, we're going to look back and go, wow, what a great pick that was.
Maybe. Yeah. I guess
right now, it doesn't look good.
I guess it really depends upon how it plays out over, like, to the next couple of years. Because, look, Michael Penix is going to be, what, 25 when the season starts?
Yeah.
So he may not take a snap at Atlanta. I know he's 28 years old.
True.
That's you know, it's not like they drafted a redshirt sophomore quarterback that enrolled, that went into college at 17 and he's 20 years old. No, it's just the opposite. They took a guy that took advantage of his COVID year and, you know, is damn near an AARP member.
Now, what no one's asked Michael Penix, how does he feel? Because you think he wanted to go to a team that start right away? He was like, oh, God, I'm here behind Kirk Cousins.
You know,
for
everybody
four
or five
wants
years. To play, right? Everybody
right.
wants to play. So I'm sure he would have rather gone somewhere where he could compete and play right away. And also, what does that tell, you know, you signed Kirk Cousins. And he's your guy. Like I said last week, he's throwing out first pitches at Braves games. He loves the area. He's happy. And man, you're our guy. Man, you are our guy. We're gonna hitch our wagon to you. And then, oh, never mind. We're gonna draft your replacement. You'll find out that he's being drafted when we're on the clock. Yeah, man. To me, it just reeks of, come on, man.
But
that's just to me. It's not smart.
But also, it's when we talk about this, it sounds like we're talking about Kirk Cousins as he's Patrick Mahomes and won all these Super. He's been a what? Has he won what, one playoff game?
He's been a good quarterback.
He's good. He hasn't been okay. Yes, he's been better than good. He's one of those guys that can get you very far, but we don't know if he can get you over the hump. So yes, it's not like he's won multiple Super Bowls or even been in a Super Bowl. So you know, let's not act like we're you know drafting Patrick Mahomes' replacement in a couple years.
I get that part of it, but at the same time, man, I don't know. To me, you got to pay a dude a ton of money, guarantee him $100 million at sign. Well, it was $90 million at signing guaranteed, and if he's on the roster next March, it rolls into $100 million guaranteed, which I'm sure he'll be on the roster next March, right? So, so you can say $100 million. Look, 67. You know, percent career completion percentage, you know, 270 touchdowns and 10 picks. He's won – he hasn't – like you said, he hasn't won a ton in the playoffs, right? He has. One or two playoff
he's
wins.
He's like Dak Prescott. He's very good. Is he good enough to get you to the promised land? Probably not, but the problem is you're scared to give up on him. And well, the Falcons – excuse me, the Vikings kind of did, but I don't know. J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, to me, I don't understand, you know, I think the Vikings could have found a way to keep him. And you're right, he's 1-3 in his career in the playoffs, 1-3.
And like right, his Monday night primetime game record, I think, is horrible. I think he's maybe won one Monday night game, one Monday/Sunday night game.
I mean, that was last year, right? Was
so,
that
yeah,
last
he's,
year?
He's
that was last year.
He's bad. He's bad at prime time, but he's pretty good.
But apparently, the Falcons felt good enough about him to invest that much in him, mm-hmm. that much capital, that much equity in him, right? So if you do that, you don't go draft his replacement in that same draft. To me, I think they erred there. It was a very, very bad pick. Again, you had two playmakers. Look, you've got. Algiers and Bijan Robinson, running back position, right? Then you go look. We talked before the you know the show. We were talking about you know you mentioned Kyle Pitts, right? So yeah, sure. You have Kyle Pitts. He's there as well. I get it. My gosh, Chuck. I mean, other than that, when you look at you know. Drake London, the wide receiver, second year of USC. You got Drake London, but that's it, man. I mean, Darnell Mooney, a Bears cast-off at receiver? Really? Darnell Mooney? I mean, so to me, they should have been the dude, you know, Rondale Moore from Arizona, I think, could play for. I mean, oh, man, go get him weapons.
I know we got a break, but if they think Michael Penix is your future franchise guy, that's a good pick.
I think it's a terrible pick, even if you think he's your future guy. Again, because all
okay,
the money
so
and
if,
all the money you've committed
if
to Kirk
he
Cousins.
Is your future, let's just assumption. Let's just say he's your future franchise quarterback. Is it a good pick? Yes or no?
you know, if in 4 years, all of a sudden, if it plays out the way they envision it, the Kirk Cousins are going to win a bunch of football games, make deep playoff runs with Kirk Cousins, and then when he's done, they're just going to transition into to Michael Penix Jr., and he becomes a great quarterback, sure, ends up being a good pick. The likelihood of that happening is not very good. But to me, go get him Brock Bowers or your Ohio State Adunze wide receiver. That, now all of a sudden, you've got that to go along with Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson, and Algier in the backfield. Man, now you've got something. Where I just didn't make any sense to me. Okay, we'll come back. I said we had good news for the Gators this week. Good news. You know, you've been one that's like urinated down the legs of Gators recruiting. So some big news out of Gainesville this week. And they also got a nice baseball win last night against Tennessee at home. All right, that more for this from the Old House in Tinseltown on 1010XL.
Do I subscribe to you? I do not. So I'm
Again, there were a couple times within a bucket or two. In previous games, y'all have been able to kind of get over that hump or maybe. Was it anything they did in particular, or was it just one of those where the bucket didn't go down, there wasn't the stop, they made one? What kind of prevented that you all from being able to get over like you have anymore?
Good move that Mike, please, or just get out the circle, please, for me, please, man. If you're not subscribed to my pod, I appreciate that. Thank you. I think they play really well at home. You have to give them a lot of credit.
I mean, comments made by Patrick Beverly. You know what? He's such a clown. Patrick Beverly is such a clown, a bad individual. You know, he's, if you don't subscribe to my pod,
yeah, I heard
you
about
can't
that.
Talk to me. And then he you know what? If this was a fan that did what he did, they'd be in jail right now. He goes and he throws a basketball, aims it at a dude, hits a lady in the face, and then asks for the ball back. He gets the ball back and then launches it again and hits the guy.
Didn't that reporter work for ESPN? I heard.
The guy that you guys heard?
Who asked the question?
I don't know who asked the question.
I thought it was someone who worked for ESPN, but my point was being that, you know, by the way, ESPN pays the league a gazillion dollars a year, so the reason you make so much money, you clowns, because ESPN pays.
Well, he wasn't telling that dude. There was a lady that was just had her, you know, tape her recorder up, and I think that's who he was asking, hey, do you subscribe to my pod? And she just said no. So it wasn't even the person asking the question. He told her to get out or whatever. But no, my point was, it wasn't as much that as it was when he was on the court. Did you see the footage?
On the court,
he threw a basketball and hit a lady in the face with a basketball. And then he asked for the ball back. And then he got the ball back and then threw it and hit the dude that he was aiming at originally. So he hit two fans in the stands purposely with a basketball. They were like, you know, second row behind the bench. So his ass should be in jail. I'd sue him, a civil suit for battery and get $10 million from him. That's what I would do if I were those fans.
Well, my question to him would have been, number one, who subscribed to some random NBA player's podcast? And number two, how many podcasts you have subscribed to? Most are free out there. I mean, some of the bigger ones you have subscribed to and pay, but most of them are just out there free. So,
well, you can be a subscriber and not pay.
Yeah,
you don't have to pay. All the subscriptions aren't pay. But apparently he's got a popular one, I guess, from what I gather. I've never listened to it. From what I hear, it's actually fairly popular.
Chuck was right. It's an ESPN reporter, Melinda Adams.
Yeah,
yeah. So they pay the league.
But she wasn't the one that even asked anything. It was someone else asking the questions, and he just kind of motioned over to her and said, hey, do you subscribe to my channel? And she said no, and she said, get out of here.
I'd be like, I didn't really have a podcast. Who knew? Although, dumb question, because it seems like now everyone has a podcast.
Chuck, we should have a podcast.
Yeah?
I could really make fun of you then. All sorts of things.
Yeah, we could say some – you can say bad words on those because
– I remember the first time – I did internet radio. the late, great Greg Larson at the old Sneakers right there at Atlantic and St. John's Bluff. Hey, Ron, you want to come and do some internet radio with me? And he's the one that got me into radio, right? I started radio in 2003, and Greg Larson was the one that got that helped me break into radio. Either 2002, 2003, I don't remember, but a long time ago. And he said, hey, Ron, you want to do some internet radio with me? And all of a sudden, there's things being said. I was like, whoa, I almost had to, like, cover my ears. There were so many things being said that I really wasn't familiar with.
Yeah, well, there was, on his show, there was stuff said over the airways. You're like, wow, you couldn't get away with that. I don't know, today,
he used to, Casey, you'll love this. He used to, he did remotes dang near 5 days a week.
Yeah.
He had two places that were like adult entertainment places. He would do his shows there, and he would interview the workers on the air live.
Yes. And Waco's.
Yeah, that was one of them. And there was no 7 second delay. There were things that were said on that show. I mean, I'm not kidding. I would pull over during my lunch break from 12 to 1 o'clock. I'd go through like, I would. I'd go to the gate station, give me a couple of hot dogs, and I'd sit there and park and just listen to the Greg Larson show. It was like must listen to radio, man. Oh my gosh, the things
Candy
that were said.
Over as she yeah. exits the stage, talk yeah. to her about the Jaguars. Candy, come
well,
on.
Yeah, he would always was
Rain was his favorite one.
Yes, Rain.
Hey, Rain. Come
his
on
favorite
over here,
question
Rain.
Was like, so what was the cause of your last breakup?
Yeah, I remember one. Where he was asking Rain about, hey, what'd you do this weekend? Well, you know, it was one of my girls here, her boyfriend's 21st birthday. And we went and hung out at this one place, and we only left the place for two things. And I'm not going to repeat any of it. You can just think about that. Anyway, all right, back to sports. Okay, let me get on. I know that's what you'd want to talk about, Chuck.
Yeah, I can't tell the Tate's Lock story.
No, cannot. So for the Gators this week, let's go to the Gators. We're going to the Gators here, okay? All right. Boy. So I told you a really good week for Florida Gator recruiting. A huge, huge week, Chuck Elliott. So now, do you know Jameer Grimsley is?
No. Do you?
Yeah, of course I do. He was he wasn't one that committed this past week, but he was a big-time five-star cornerback recruit that committed to Bama. And then when Saban left, he backed out. Well, he already signed his national letter of intent, but those don't matter anymore. You know, the new rule is now you can leave as many times as you want. Used to it was you had one get-out-of-jail-free card, and then when you graduated, you could transfer then. So you had two. Time to transfer. Now you can transfer a dozen times if you want to. Just keep on transferring. There's a portal open. Let me jump in that portal. All right, so Jameer Grimsley, who's a true freshman, committed to Florida. That happened, obviously, just after Saban left Tuscaloosa. But this past week, Jeremiah McLeod, a 2025 player, committed to Florida. He was a Mississippi State one-time commitment. Georgia, Miami, Florida State all offered. He picked Florida over all of them. But then this interior offensive lineman, Jason Zanamila, who signed with USC as a freshman, he's a 2024 kid as well. He decided to jump into the portal. And he is going to sign and enroll at Florida as well. And the same guys were all in it on him. So now, Mr. Elliott, the Gators, if you were to take, commit the interior offensive lineman from the guy from USC, Zanamila, you take him. You take L.J. McCray, you take D.J. Lagway. They have three players now that have committed to play for them, 2024, They were all number one at their respective positions coming out of high school. Tells me that, if nothing else, Billy Napier can damn sure recruit. 6-7 season, 5-7 season, and you have maybe outside of Georgia or Ohio State, I can't imagine anybody else having three number one players at their respective positions committing in one recruiting cycle. And Lagway and McCray were two of the top six overall players in the country. So now I mentioned Grimsley because if you take Jameer Grimsley and you, if you were to add him, the offensive lineman, into the 2024 class, they came in as portal players, right? They're as portal, but they've never played college ball. So if you were to put them into the 2024 high school recruiting rankings, Florida would be number seven overall. And now actually they're composite. If you combine transfers and high school recruits, they're seventh. So all this stuff, all the talk, and oh my gosh, he can't recruit, he can't this, he can't that. Well, yeah, he can. Now, we don't know how things are going to translate onto the field, right? We don't know. They've got 15 incoming transfers to the Gators, a couple of young dudes. They've also got, a few transfers that have played a lot of college football, right? So, I think Florida, Chuck, is going to be a little better than a lot of people think. If Graham Mertz is what we think he is, not what you think
not
he
what
is,
is.
Not what you think he is, but what most people they think he is, they've got a chance to win 7 or 8 football games.
If they win 8 football games, I think he will be in line for a contract extension. So
maybe. But that just shows you the statement I just made shows you how far Florida football has fallen.
Yeah.
We're saying, man, Florida might be able to win 7 or 8 football games this year. We sound excited. Hey, all right, when we come back, I'll give you a few of the players I think might make immediate contributions in Gainesville. And there's another receiver they're in on as well, a transfer from Arizona State. The last Arizona State wide receiver they got turned out pretty well. He ended up being the first-round draft pick. Ricky Pearsall. Slick Rick. All right. We'll discuss that more after this from the Old House in Tinseltown on 1010 XL.
Compton and Company on 1010 XL.
You know, that's a song that Chuck Elliott should have on his playlist right there. As he's walked away. He's walking over here grumpy looking. He's grumpy. He looks grumpy. So this is a song that Chuck Elliott you should have on your playlist.
Well, it's a song. I just put my headphone.
Here we go. Listen. Should you love yourself, Chuck?
I don't know this song.
You don't know this song?
I do not.
What?
Nope, I don't.
He doesn't know this.
Who is this? What song is it?
You don't know this song.
I don't.
Wow. For someone that likes so much music, all the music that he likes, Casey Dobson, will you please enlighten Mr. Elliott on this song? Please.
This is some Justin Bieber with Love Yourself.
I can't believe you didn't know this song.
I don't
know Justin Bieber is.
I do know Justin Bieber. Yes.
Checking.
Canadian.
You kind of have like a Justin Bieber haircut, Chuck.
Like Drake.
Not really, but.
Yeah. Justin Bieber, wow.
Bieber fever, baby.
He was the thing 15 years ago.
I remember when my older son and his buddy Jamie in fifth grade, they had the Bieber haircuts, and they walk around just kind of, push their heads so the hair was too flying, I used to make fun of them. Oh, look at the Bieber boys over there, Bieber fever. Okay, so, quit, Dad. Be quiet, Dad.
So the music today, there is a theme to it.
It's all been bad.
So last week, speaking of bad, actually last week's music was awesome. That was actually all the bands that I went and seen last weekend, or 2 weekends ago, rather.
Okay. When you skipped out on us.
Yes.
When you skipped out on us and decided to go listen to music instead.
In
Were the bands? Again,
so,
remind me.
Day Seeker was one of them.
Yeah.
Yep. Sleep Theory was another. Stained You ever heard of
Spain? I know. I've heard of them. There I have heard
go.
Of them.
Yes. You heard of Seether?
No.
No.
And neither has Ron.
I'm 0 for so far. I'm 0.
You've heard, right. of Stain.
Stain?
I think Stain. Oh, yeah, Stain. Okay.
You know Stain.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Asking Alexandria. All
about
things.
1 for 5 or whatever.
Hey, I'm betting we're betting 200 Stain. At the Mendoza line.
Yeah, there you go.
We're at the Mendoza line.
So, but this week's music, there is a theme to it. So
text
tuned.
Me that list. In case you don't mind, text me that list. I got a buddy of mine who loves bands. He'll go see like all these off-the-wall bands. So I'm going to take that list and give it to him and see how many he's heard of. So
off
text
the
me
wall.
That list
okay.
of who you saw.
All right. Where you at again? I'm coming to where you are.
So one more time with the poll question. See how, where we stand, and then we're going to go into some of the guys that just might help our beloved Gators get to 7 or 8 wins this season.
All right, so our first poll question of the day, brought to you by Allsite Contracting, Inc. Who would you rather have at quarterback on your 2024 college team? Graham Ertz, Cam Ward, or DJ Uiagalelei? And still leading the way, Graham Ertz, and we've gotten just right at 85 votes for that one. And our second one, in honor of May the 4th be with you, with Tom Brady being the Grandmaster Jedi, a.k.a. Yoda, who would you want being your quarterback Jedi Master to train you? Peyton Manning, Joe Montana, Roger Staubach, or Johnny Unitas?
I said Joe Montana. I said Joe Montana.
Good pull, brother, water boy. Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Peyton Manning leading the way with 70% of
just
our
running away with
votes.
It.
Yeah.
Wow, running away with
Johnny
it.
Unitas.
And Chuck's still
got
upset.
Three.
Yeah, okay, 3% for Johnny. Chuck's still upset that Dan Marino's not on the list.
No, I put Dan Marino kind of like Joe Montana. I just thought they might not be very good mentors. Remember, Joe Montana was awful in it. Yeah, you know, analyst. We did the studio show,
and he was that guy that he didn't want to help Steve Young at all. Right? He had no interest in helping Steve Young become a decent quarterback. Just like Brett Favre had no interest in helping Aaron Rodgers. And look, I get it. Sometimes, you know, God's willing. Hey man, you know
they're
what?
Not coaches.
Well, think about. Well, no, it's not. They don't have to be coaches, but. Being a mentor, you know, we'll see how this Kirk Cousins, Michael Penix Jr. thing works out. Well, Kirk Cousins, because he's such a great dude, he will probably do everything he can to help Michael Penix Jr. and also trying to fend him off and keep his job. But Joe Montana's of the world, the Brett Favre of the world, you know, they're like, I'm not helping you guys. You cut after my job. They drafted you to replace me. Screw you, dude. And it wouldn't help them at all. And you don't have to. I mean, it's just, to me, you take a guy under your wing and you help them just become, you know, a leader. Because, as look, quarterbacks and head coaches, they're held up to a higher standard than everybody else. You are the leaders, right? You're the guys. And that to me is you don't have to, hey, man, I'm going to make you better. I want you to take my job. But you can help them become better leaders when it is their turn, whether it's replacing you or somewhere else.
Yeah,
pay things forward, Chuck.
I was going to quiz you on. I saw a list the other day. Somebody did their opinion poll, like the each NFL team their greatest draft pick in history. Mm-hmm. So before I get to my question to you, I guess it's a question also. Who do you think the Jags' greatest draft pick in history was?
Yeah, well, I would say they'll say Tony Maselli.
No, actually, they did.
Fred Taylor.
Yeah.
Okay, I think it'll be one of the two. And I let's hope in 5 years the answer is Trevor Lawrence.
But my question to you is for the Dolphins, they had Dan Marino. Why wouldn't you say Bob, you know, Bob Greasy did win 2 Super Bowls with Miami. So why would you take Marino over Greasy if you think about it? I mean, what did they do with Marino? Like, I like Marino, but
recency bias.
At the end of the day.
Well, because, yeah, your least favorite.
Why did they say Marino over Greasy?
Said. Well, that's simple.
I know the Dolphins had the running game, blah, blah,
yeah,
blah.
It's easy because people, when you. Look, it doesn't matter whose list it is. If you're saying, hey, give me the greatest quarterbacks of all time, no one will ever mention Bob Greasy.
Of course.
No one will ever mention Jim Plunkett. But they both won 2 Super Bowls, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But so no one would mention either one of those guys, you know? And so I get what you're saying. Look, it's quarterback, makes important position. He did help you win 2 Super Bowls. Why is he not your best draft pick of all time? I don't know. Who was the Cowboys? Do you remember? Who was that?
You know, I was looking, but
I want to say Staubach, but I might be Staubach, but I might be wrong.
All right, so back to the Gators I mentioned earlier, as far as guys that can come in and help this year. You know, they go out. I mentioned the Zandamela kid. He's a true freshman, so we'll see. He was the number one interior offensive lineman in the draft. I mean, in draft. It might as well be a draft. And recruiting, went to USC, decided, hey, I don't want to go there. I'm going to stay closer to home. I'm going to be a Gator, right? Asa Turner, he's a dude that played a lot of football, starting safety at Washington. He can help come maybe be sort of a leader in that secondary. Both he and DJ Douglas, who played, I think he played safety at Tulane, I believe is where DJ Douglas transferred from. George Gums was unblockable in the spring game. I don't know if that's good or bad. Is that more about him or more telling about the lack of offensive line depth the Gators have? Pup Howard from Jackson High School, transferred from South Carolina. Chimiri DK, who played with Graham Mertz at Wisconsin to help at the receiver position. That's the one position. The two positions that to me, that concerns me as a Gator. I think they're going to be really good in the secondary, much better than they were. Linebacker position, no issues there. Defensive tackle, I think they're really good there. I don't know that they have a good edge rusher. They're going to have to scheme a lot up to get after the passer. Hopefully Ron Roberts, coupled with, obviously, Austin Armstrong, can draw some ball plays up that will help. Wide receiver position, man, outside of Trey Wilson, man, I don't know, man. You know, he's a bona fide superstar, will make a lot of plays, you know, for the Gators. But I mentioned Chimere DK, dude is Aide Mizell, Andy Jean, guys that they registered last year. Do they step up and fill that void left by Ricky Pearsall? That's a big void to fill after Ricky Pearsall goes in the first round of the draft. So the two positions that – and I think they have offensive line depth now. Not exactly a lot of five-star recruits, but they've got dudes that have played a lot of football, right? And they've got 9 or 10 guys that hopefully they can find a starting five and have a decent rotation. That's the hope. So I think Florida has a chance of being okay. They've got to get good pass rush, and I'm worried about, and then also they need some help at the wide receiver position.
So I think a winning record is definitely better than okay. Six, and I've said before, you can't put a win loss record on Napier's as far as keeping his job after this year. The only way I think you should fire him is if they go 3-9 and lose every winnable game.
I'm with you. And here's the problem.
I mean, you're 5-7. You didn't go .500 again. You're gone. Well, if you're going to do that, you should have fired him last year because you knew this year was going to be tough.
We don't agree on much, but I agree with you on that. 1,000,000%. Because here's what happens. All right, so this is where I think they can get to 7 or 8. I would say that there are only, in my opinion, 3 games on the schedule. That's a win, that's a win, that's a win. Sanford is a win. I think at Mississippi State's a win. And Gainesville is a win, right? I think there's 2 games on the schedule that they can't. I mean, look, anything can happen. Just like, look, UCF can beat Florida. Mississippi State, obviously, at home can beat Florida. But I would say those 3 games, they should be prohibitive favorites, right? Would you agree?
Yeah.
Those 3. Now, the 2 games that they will be huge underdogs at Texas and in Gainesville – I mean, in Jacksonville against Georgia.
Yeah, I say Ole Miss is
that. So those 5 games, I would say, if I was at 3-2. So now you have 7 to go. Where Florida benefits is the remaining tough are drawing home, right? They get Ole Miss at home late. By then, you'll kind of have an idea what Florida football is. I know they lost their last 5 in last season. I get it. But you get LSU at home. You get Ole Miss at home, right? You get Kentucky at home. So the only road games you have at Texas, at Mississippi State, and at FSU. And last year they were a much better team at home, and most teams are. But they were a much better team at home than they were on the road. So the goal is then of those other seven, you know, that I think are all somewhat toss-ups, go either way, get me four. Can you get me 4-3? Right? Can you get me 4-3 in the toss-up games, and can you hold serve with those three, and then, yeah, you're going to lose those two. Maybe there's an upset where on you in your favor or the other way as well. So that to me is how they can – I think they can get seven. I know the over-under is 5.5 in Vegas, but I think the Gators are going to be better than some people think. There's always – whether it's college football or the NFL, there's always teams that are better than you thought, teams that are worse than you thought, right? Every year. It happens every year. And the hope is this year, Florida's better. And what – you know, and you've had a few – like the Josh Pate – you know who Josh Pate is? The On3 Sports dude, he's like in tight with a lot of different programs. He said he was down in Gainesville for the Florida spring game, and Billy Napier gave him all access. He said, you know, man, he goes, I went in,
wow,
and maybe you could pull up, I'll tell you what.
I would.
Casey, you can let me know if you're able to find it. There's a soundbite of what Josh Pate had to say in terms of his time down in Gainesville, whereas he was thinking one thing, right, going in, and came away with a complete different opinion coming out of the visit in Gainesville. Go ahead, Chip.
I would think gave him all access, college football program. I would think you have better chance of calling Kim Jong-un and getting all his secrets
yeah,
and getting all access to the college football team.
I get why you would think that. I do. They're pretty much, and hopefully Casey can find it if he can. I know, put him on the spot here last second here. But pretty much what he said was, hey, he said, look, man, he goes, the outside looking in, it's like, man, it's a mess down in Gainesville, and there must not be any structure. They have no idea what's going on. It's a complete 180 from what you see in Columbus or Tuscaloosa or in Athens. He says, but when I walk those halls, when I sat in team meetings, whether it's positional groups or coaches' meetings or whatever the case was, talking to players, he says, you wouldn't know in the facilities what the facilities looked like. He says, outside of the obvious record that you see at season's end, you wouldn't know any different. So, and here we go. This is what Josh Pate had to say about his visit down with Coach Napier in Gainesville.
Does the culture you saw on your visit at Florida translate to Billy Napier being the coach at Florida in 5 years? It should. It should. There's no guarantee in this. What Scott is talking about is we were down there 2 weeks ago, and we got as in-depth, we got as good a look at Florida's program as any program we visited. Billy Napier made sure to show us everything, good and bad. Now, he showed us everything. I mean, guys, we had access to everything. We sat in with coaching staff. We sat in with player personnel staff, full recruiting staff. We were taken into Florida's war room. I'm talking about access to their big board for recruiting, everything. And that is a supreme amount of trust that you have to have in someone, and I appreciate that, and I don't take that lightly. But we saw it all. And the reason I'm mentioning that is we see some of that at the other places we go. And we're around some places where they win a lot. And I came back and I told you, Florida reeks of a program that's had way more on-field success than they actually have thus far under Billy Napier. If you were to walk with me through the halls of Alabama or Ohio State or Georgia, and then you went to Florida, Florida doesn't feel that much different. It doesn't look that much different because they've massively upgraded. I mean, massively over the past few years. But it also doesn't.
With the next pause, you can clip them. And well, there you go. And there's a comment, right, of Josh Pate. You know what I was just talking about. The overall look of the program, off the field, in the hallways, is very reminiscent of the programs are having a lot of success. Obviously, the University of Florida hasn't had much in terms of success at all, right? So that's where I think, Chuck, and we're going to break here momentarily, where they have opportunities here. Because, look, when we come back, you know, I mentioned the three, what I think are, you know, they'll be big favorites in, and then the two that I think they'll be, you know, close to 20-point underdogs in. And then, but we'll talk about the other seven in terms of, you know, their chances in those. And also, we're going to talk about what would you do, Chuck, if you were the Jaguars right now? You're, I think, $30 million under the cap, right? Would you make a play for a couple of maybe there's one or two big fish left in free agency and pay them? Maybe make a couple of small moves and roll everything else over? Because, see, a lot of people don't know this. You can actually roll whatever's left over in your cap money. You can roll it over to next year and use it next year. You don't have to. It's not like use it or lose it. So right now, $30 million under. If you don't spend it all, it doesn't mean, you don't get that next year. As long as you tell the NFL before 4 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time, the day after your last regular season game, as long as you tell them prior to that, hey, we're going to use that money next year. You can use it next year.
So what's the cap? What's the annual cap?
Well, it changes every year.
Well, what is it now? It's like, I know they have. So you're telling, let's just say 250.
Okay, so let's.
So you're telling me, they can say 250 plus 30, we got 280.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's break here, and we'll dig deep into the Gator schedule and also the salary cap and how that works, how it's calculated. And then also what we haven't touched on at all, man, is the salary cap coming to college football within a couple of years and what that means maybe for that. More from the Ale House in Tinseltown on 1010XL.
Compton & Company on 1010XL.
This is Chuck's favorite song. It's actually Chuck's favorite artist, recording artist, is who this is.
Billy Ray Cyrus?
No, not Billy Ray, the guy that's singing with him.
Lil Nas.
Chuck likes Lil Nas.
Wasn't that song like number one for like 6 months in a row or something crazy like that?
In fact, my older son's graduation song, this is the song they came out to.
They did?
Yeah, they did.
Hey, I'm trying to figure out the theme today. I can't get the theme today.
How about the fight with right now? I'm sure our main man, Casey Dobson, is far more familiar with this Kendrick Lamar Drake feud than Chuck is.
I am not.
Oh.
No.
Oh.
Not at all.
Well, they hate each other. Okay. I mean, and hate's a strong word, but they absolutely despise one another. So last night, there were songs dropped by both. Drake dropped the first one. And then about, I guess, Kendrick Lamar must have had one in the can, you know. So, hey, man, as soon as he drops something, hey, I'm next. And you talk about calling somebody out. I mean, it was brutal. If you go and you find it, basically it was Drake started out with, you know, about a 7.5 minutes track titled Family Matters, where he rapped over three different beats, taking aim at not only Kendrick Lamar, but The Weeknd, Rick Ross, Future, Metro Boomin. I've never heard of Metro Boomin. I think he's a producer, I believe. And ASAP Rocky. You ever heard of ASAP Rocky, Chuck? Are you big on ASAP Rocky?
Family Matters.
You know what? This would have been good 2 weeks ago. Casey Dobson, we love you. You're the best in the business. I've got a hunch that
RJ,
if R.J. Saunders was here, he would be able to walk us through this a little bit better.
Now, Family Matters, wasn't that the show that Urkel was on?
Yeah, it was. Drake didn't hold back, accusing Kendrick of getting physical with his fiance.
Oh, good grief.
He also hinted that Kendrick's manager had a baby with the same woman. So there was. And then pretty much, Motorson told me this. Kendrick Lamar came out and pretty much his song that he dropped a few minutes after that was, hey, he said Drake's a human piece of crap. He apologized to Drake's parents for having such a horse bleep son. He said, I'm sorry. Apologize to Drake's kids that you've got a narcissistic piece of garbage for a dad. He intimated that that Drake has a kid out there he's hiding that belongs to him that he won't acknowledge. Oh, the infighting. Oh, the fighting was just like, wow. It was like, okay. I see you guys working here. All right, so Florida football schedule. We talked before the break. Yeah, I said, you know, there is a path to 7 or 8 wins. And, again, this is like talking about Florida State a couple of years ago. Remember it was like, man, if Florida State gets 7 or 8, man, they'd be ecstatic. Right? They did. Give Mike Norvell credit. He's turned the roster over. He struck portal gold, but he's also recruited well in terms of high school recruiting the last 2 cycles. Mm-hmm. So he's putting things together for them. So, you know, I don't like it, but I've got to acknowledge it that they're doing a good job in Tallahassee. But they were 3-5 in the COVID era recently, right? And they ducked teams and they were no good. And they wanted
Clemson and Virginia.
Yeah, they wanted to run. The Noles wanted to run Mike Norvell out of town. But all of a sudden, he's got things rolling. There's a lot of similarities here with Billy Napier. How about here's a number for you. 2 drafts ago, the Noles had 1 guy drafted. This year, they had 10. This year, the Gators have 1 guy drafted. That shows you the stack, the deck Billy Napier's worked with. They've had no players. They've had no players in Gainesville. They got 1 guy drafted, and it was a transfer from Arizona State. So he finally has it built to his liking, he says. Now, again, I'm a skeptic because I'm a huge Gator, but you got to show me something. But when you look at the schedule, Kentucky loses Devin Leary. They lose their stud running back, whose name escapes me, that ran up and down the field on them when he ran for Vanderbilt and from Kentucky last year. Ole Miss is really good. But there's not a lot of depth at Ole Miss. It's a lot of their top 30 is really good. Beyond that, there's not much.
So would you agree if you're Ole Miss, should you expect to be in the playoffs? If you don't, that's a disappointment.
Yes.
This is make or break for Ole Miss because mostly a lot because of talent, mostly because of Alabama.
Yeah, that's true. And by the way, the guy that, you know, how about Kirby Smart? Speaking of Alabama, I got to bring up Georgia, $13 million a year. Signed an extension, 10 years, $130 million, and earned every damn penny of it. Again, I don't like Georgia, but when I said, you know, Nick Saban was underpaid, Kirby Smart's underpaid. Kirby Smart's underpaid for what he's done at Georgia, and I hate Georgia. He's underpaid.
Well, go tell him. Go be his agent.
Well, I should. I can make some mini muchos. So back to your question, yes. Ole Miss should expect to be in the college football playoff. But, look, Lane Kiffin, he truly is that guy that every year he loses 1 or 2 games he shouldn't lose. Would you agree? Every year, man, how'd they lose that game? Doesn't matter where he coaches.
Right, but I would say who doesn't lose 1 or 2 games a year they shouldn't lose?
Nick Saban.
Well, yeah. That's
Kirby Smart.
It's a short list.
Steve Spurrier.
The list is, well, Spurrier could, you know, when they pop in.
Urban Meyer. The great ones, right? Yeah. The great ones.
Well,
but my point is, I get it. It happens, right? But so when I looked at Florida's schedule, Ole Miss is certainly beatable. It's in Gainesville. Florida's a lot better team in Gainesville, right? So I mentioned that, yeah, we mentioned the 3 they should win, right? They should beat Samford, Mississippi State, and UCF. And the 2 losses, Georgia and Texas. You look at the others, right? A&M in Gainesville. A&M, new quarterback, new coach. Right, Tennessee. At Tennessee, you've owned Tennessee, new quarterback. Again, I'm not saying Florida wins all these games. I'm just telling you why, you know, why it's a toss-up. LSU at Florida, LSU, new quarterback, lose all their entire offense. They lose their defensive tackles. We know they're here in Jacksonville. And their defense is no good. Florida State lost everybody. Now, they hit portal again. They hit the portal. They lost their 2 receivers, their quarterback, the running back, half their defense. They lost everybody. Now, they have retooled in the portal like they did last year. It may work out again. But I'm not saying I think Florida State's going to be able to win 9 or 10 games. But they're not going to be what Florida State was this year. DJ Uiagalelei sucks, okay? He was no good at Clemson. He was average at Washington State. He's not any good. He's not any good.
Let me ask you, this goes back to the old Mertz, Cam Ward talk. What was, if you say he sucks, what was FSU thinking? Why did they go get him?
That's all that was there. It's all that was there. Now look, they're hoping that he can go back to the guy that came out of high school as the number one player in the country. And it could happen. Look, Mike Norvell is a hell of a quarterback's coach. Look, he took Jordan Travis from a guy that FSU fans said had no business playing quarterback, didn't want him on the field, and turned him into an NFL draft pick. He's a great quarterback's coach. And you know, as far as developing, he develops guys. Remember, I've said many a times, I hate Florida State, but I respect what they do. Mike Norvell, his mic drop when he recruits quarterbacks should be, hey, my fans didn't want Jordan Travis. He was a cast off from Louisville. But you know what happened? He rolls here. You know, we coach him up. He gets better. He was a Heisman finalist. Gets hurt. And he's down in for a draft pick. I mean, there's a lot of good he's done there. But I guess my point is, there's opportunities for Florida to win those football games because those teams aren't exactly what they were last year. I think they've all taken a little bit of a step back, except for Ole Miss.
So I put Ole Miss in an unwinnable – I know it's in Gainesville.
I don't think it's unwinnable because, again, it's in Gainesville and it's
any game – every game is winnable,
that is
like
true.
You said. But if by the criteria we're going by, really good teams, I'm going to put Ole Miss as unwinnable.
No, and they are. And I guess – I'm going to fall victim to what you fall victim to, looking at stickers on helmets.
Yeah, you go Ole Miss. Ha-ha.
Ole Miss, really? Seriously, Ole Miss? Right? I mean, seriously, I'll call myself out. Okay, Ole Miss. All right. Yes, yeah, sure. Okay. Let's go, Rebels. Let's go. Come on. I don't know, man. But that's where I think that if Billy Napier is correct, and he says that and something else in this Josh Pate that we didn't soundbite we didn't get to. He says, look, Billy Napier has said that the first 2 years in Gainesville, it was like a construction site. We're having to build stuff. He said, now it's been built. Now it's been built, and now we've just got to go play. It's what we have here now is ours. Before, we were working with others. There's a bunch of things that weren't going very well and all these things, but now it's ours. So, and he thinks he said by far and away the best roster they've had there. So, if I'm going to believe that, and they're better than they were, and the other teams on that list I just mentioned, I think Kentucky will take a step back. Tennessee, again, you're losing your quarterback. FSU lose a bunch of guys. We'll see. So there's a chance. But, again, it comes down to I'm hoping that Florida can take the same route, had the same trajectory as FSU had in terms of coming from, man, we're never going to make it back to here we are. We should be in the playoff.
But I think if you're the 12 teams on that schedule, if you're doing Sports Talk Radio, those 12 cities, there's probably nine of the cities like, yep, Florida on the schedule, that's a W. Mississippi State's probably saying, that's a W.
Maybe.
UCF.
They might.
We have a chance.
No, they might. I'm with you. I get it.
Ole Miss is like, oh, yeah, we got that. This game's in a bag. It's not even going to be. Miami. Miami's looking. We should roll. Look, we got Cam Ward. We should roll in the game.
Yeah, that's right. Ward going to Heisman this year. Right. Right? You're a guy, Cam Ward, going to Heisman. Well, right? Is that right? I'm just asking a question. You're a guy. He's Cam Ward, going to Heisman.
Who is going to win a Heisman? Who's the favorite?
Carson Beck.
Yeah, that's true. Number one overall.
Shedeur Sanders, but there's no way he's going to win it because Colorado's going to win four games this year, maybe five.
You think?
Yeah, they won four last year.
Well, yeah, they went from one to four. So if Deion's all Deion's supposed to be, shouldn't you take that natural progression to seven or eight? If you stay at four, you're just spinning your wheels, right?
But the Deion Sanders experience is wearing out. It's worn thin. High school coaches, they're now, again, you say you hear reports. We're going to break here in a moment. And I've read things that the high school coaches don't like him. Obviously, Deion Sanders has proven the person he really is. He's an immature, loudmouth windbag. He comes out on Twitter and he's taking shots at kids on Twitter who plays Division II football. Deion Sanders is a punk, and his son's a punk. Okay? So Shador, I want no part of that circus act. No part of that circus act. So I don't think he goes number one. I think Carson Beck does. So, and I think Deion Sanders will be out of coaching after this year. He's all done coaching.
Well, usually the number one.
Because he leaves, his son leaves, and Travis Hunter leaves.
Well, usually the number one overall pick, as we know in the NFL draft, goes to not a very good team. So I think Shador and Deion, that's a pack. Whatever NFL team, that's going to be a package.
But nobody wants Deion. It's not like high school recruiting where, I mean, if you want my kid, you got to take me. They'll just draft his son.
You don't think Jerry Bowl's part of that circus?
God, I hope not. Oh, my God, I hope not.
You better hope to make a deep playoff run this year.
I sure hope not. I sure hope not. That would be terrible, terrible, terrible. All right, we'll break here. We'll come back and close it out from the old house in Tinseltown on 1010XL.
This is Compton & Company on 1010XL.
Have y'all figured it out yet?
Yeah. Yes.
Company.
Well, we're back, Chuck?
Yeah, we're back. You got...
Wow. And I didn't even go anywhere this time.
Yeah, you did. So,
I didn't go anywhere this time.
What's the theme here about it? Now you're playing Cher, I believe, like $8.99? Her comeback song.
Yeah, you're
song.
Right on the year, $99. Good job.
This is her comeback song.
See, Chuck knows. Okay. I guess actually Chuck is just like, I've said this before, but now I'll say it again. And it's right. It's right as rain.
The rain, the girl at
Wacko's. Yeah.
Yes.
So Chuck is just like a music and sports historian. If yes. It happened like anything that was 20 years ago plus, Chuck knows any and all about everything. Anything within the last couple of years, he doesn't know anything. That's what I'm going to say. Well, maybe you might know a little bit, but you're just my sports historian. That's what you are. We're going to go about that. For now on, we introduce you. It's you know, Ron Compton, the guy that talks all the time, and Chuck Elliott, the sports historian.
So
don't ask him anything recent.
So to kind of play off that real quick, well, I guess we're going to know, what is the theme of the day? I guess that was our last song, and I'm still not coming up with it, so I guess I'm not that great.
Yeah, what is it, Casey Dobson?
Star Wars. How does Cher fit into Star Wars?
I'm playing.
Well, okay. I know those movies. I remember they released those movies in 99.
Yeah.
Those, like, yep, that was like, wasn't that the first release of movies after Return of the Jedi in 83?
Oh, okay, that's what it was. Okay, so every
year
song
along the way.
Was the different Star Wars movie that was released.
Okay,
yeah,
what song do you have for 77?
Yeah.
What song do you have for 77? Let's go back.
I didn't play one for 77. I picked the top five grossing Star Wars movies. Did y'all know that Force Awakens almost made $1 billion? My
what was the one with Harrison
maybe it's more
Ford?
Than that. Maybe
what
it's
was
90?
The one like. There's one that was really crummy, right? The one with Harrison Ford or starred Harrison Ford or something. What was that one? Like
he
went
really
back
needs
like a prequel.
To go. He's got to go.
But what was
the
bad
one? Was it with Harrison Ford?
Well, but one like within the last 15 years, I
all
guess.
All right, so
I
Force know. Awakens.
I just don't know what to say.
Okay.
Chuck has me lost of words here.
Okay, so real quick.
Here's one of Chuck's favorite songs being played in the background. Jump.
Worst Van Halen song there is. Too much synthesizer. Jump. 1984.
It's a great song.
It's not a great song.
It's a great song.
It's not a great song. Listen to like Running with the Devil, Dance the Night Away. You're going to tell me that's a great song when you compare that song to those songs?
I love it. Just wind Chuck up and see when you can wind me up and get me rolling on certain things. When it comes to music. And you tell Chuck, hey, this is a great song, and I know that he doesn't like it like this. He doesn't
real
like
quick
this.
Insight.
He doesn't like Panama. He does. There's certain songs he just hates. And then when I talk about it, he gets mad.
Real quick insight,
I guess inside the business. So you were talking about my memory. That's kind of why I go off of that. So do you do stuff like this? So yesterday was May 3rd. I remember May 3rd, 1991 was the last episode of Dallas. On the way home from work, I stopped by Walmart in Normandy, got a VHS tape, ran into a friend of mine. Next day, I went to a friend of mine, got married, and then I went to races that night. If you remember stuff like that, is that kind of out of the norm to remember what you did on a specific day as to where you stopped? What you
no,
did?
Not really.
Okay.
No,
okay.
No. I wish, and I've said this before, I'd give $50,000 away if I could find a doctor that could go into my brain and that could restore, like, all of my memory. Because there's so many things, like, you've reminded me of, and my buddy Darren, Woody, my kids, you know, stuff that I forgot. Now, sometimes music will help me remember things. I hear a certain song, it kind of like, gets me back, and I can say, okay, start telling a story, maybe I can remember again. But there are certain things I just don't have any recollection of at all. And I'd pay a lot of money just to recall everything I've ever done. I would, and I don't remember. It's crazy, man. And it makes me worry about myself when I'm older. Am I going to have dementia? Am I going to have Alzheimer's? What am I? Because I don't remember. I can't remember certain things that I think I should. Chuck, why can't I remember? Chuck, come on, Dr. Chuck, help me out here.
Well,
why?
I always have one go-to. You always worry about, okay, when you're sitting there on the computer and you go to look at something, like, what was I going to? All of a sudden, you'd be like, what was I going to look at? I don't remember. I always go back to the 1977 Thanksgiving Day, Miami Dolphins beat the St. Louis Cardinals 55-14. So as long as I can remember that, if I ever question what that score was, then that's kind of my point. Okay. Maybe I need to check.
Well,
check on something.
Right, so we are at the old house in Tinseltown. Look, a great place, an outstanding place, which all of your college ball, pro ball. Right now, I see Lady Gators softball ongoing. We get Gators baseball later on. All the UFC fights. Every pay-per-view, you name it, it's going to be here. The ticket, extra innings, center ice, extra, I mean, everything. I mean, you name the event, it's here. You name the food, it's here. If you want just a hot dog or burger, they got that. You want their world-famous mountain milk, they've got that. You want salmon? You want a steak? They got all that. You name it, it's all here at the Old House in Tinseltown. Come hang out with us each and every Saturday. Now, I will say, I haven't told you this. Here in about a month, we'll be flipping back to Wednesdays.
I was going
to
ask you. Yeah.
That's breaking news here because I have signed on, and I'm coaching our post-9. Me and my buddy Jim Carpenter and a few other guys, we're still trying to round out the coaching staff. Legion Baseball, 17 to 19U Legion Baseball, we're going to start here practice in a couple of weeks. And then also kickoff tournament first week of March. I'll be coaching baseball, so it'll take up a lot of my Saturdays. By the way, I didn't mention this. Now, we did get knocked out by the smart kids. I mean, not really, well, some were smart, the rich kids. So, Rebalt High School, my son Dallas, 2 years at Rebalt, junior, senior seasons. We won our first district tournament game in like 50 years. We beat the smart kids at Stanton. So, Trojans 9, Brainiacs 8. And I'll go ahead and, you know, talk at my son a bit. He two-hopped the fence twice for two doubles. Had a ball he hit to the fence. If he just got under, it would have been out. It would have been his very first out-of-the-park home run in his life. He just missed it. Sac fly RBI, 1-9-8. But then we went and played the rich kids at Bishop Kenny the next night, and we got worked over. I joke with our coach. I said, Grady, man, I said, do they teach geometry at Rebalt? Because they don't take any angles in the outfield. Now, they would have – no, Bishop Kenny would have whipped us anyway. They were better than we were. We had ran out of pitching as well. But, man, they don't take any angles, bro. It was crazy. Crazy to watch. But, anyway, so that was this past week in baseball. I'm just now coming to the realization that my – younger son's high school baseball career is over. He's got a couple of college opportunities. We'll see what he decides to do. And then, we have summer ball as well. And Legion baseball is fun, man. It's so much fun. And we're going to have our kickoff tournament the first, like June 1st, the weekend after Memorial Day at Rondette Park. Mm. So it should be an awful lot of fun. So I guess I need to talk to the station and tell them what
what you're doing.
The plans are for our show, yeah. I mean, that might be important. So now, last look at our poll questions. Casey Dobson, what are they and where did we land?
So we're going to go backwards on this one. In honor of May the 4th be with you, with Tom Brady being the Grandmaster Jedi, a.k.a. Yoda, who would you want being your quarterback Jedi Master to train you? Your choices were Peyton Manning, Joe Montana, Roger Staubach, and Johnny Unitas. It's without a doubt a generational thing, I believe, with Peyton Manning leading the way with 70 votes at 70%. And then our second poll question, brought to you by Allside Contracting, Inc. This one got a lot of traction just in the past, like, 30 minutes. 500 votes are in. Who would you rather have at quarterback on your 2024 college team? Graham Mertz leading the way.
Woo!
DJ Ugalele is kicking up the rear, and Cam Ward. So,
how about that, Chuck?
Goodness.
So, when Miami beats Florida, we say yes. We admit I'm right. I was right.
No, it depends on how. If they do beat Florida, how they beat them. But yeah, if okay, yes. If Miami beats Florida, and even this, if the stats are similar, that's okay. Winner, Chuck. I'll give you that.
Okay. All right.
I will. But all right. So now on to our Jacksonville Jaguars. We close the show out. So, the way the salary cap works in the NFL is not many people know that you can roll it over. So obviously, teams can't exceed the cap. We know that, right? And it works on, like, a rolling average. All right, so you've got to remember that back in the day, the Bengals and Paul Brown would, like, spend no cap money. They'd be on the cheap. Mm-hmm. So there's a cap floor. So you've got to spend at least 89% of your cap money over a four-year period. So that's how, you know, that rolls out. But as long as you notify the National Football League that, hey, man, like the Jaguars right now, $34 million under the cap. I think they have the third most cap room in the league. Let me look this up. I think it's third. Let's look it up.
Third most?
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, third. Patriots have $50 million. The Commanders have $43.5 million. The Jaguars have $34.2 million of money to spend. Now, you know what? When you go look at, I mean, there's still some free agents out there, you know. I mean, you've got I don't think they're going to go in the receiver direction, Chuck, because if you're going to get rid of Zay Jones, why would you go out and get another? I think it was, hey, you know what, our Zay Jones replacement is Gabe Davis. Our Calvin Ridley replacement is Michael Thomas Jr. And then once you get beyond that, the next receiver is someone that's going to have to play special teams. I don't think they'll go spend money on the wide receiver free agent. If they were, they would just keep Zay Jones, because the guys that are out, the Tyler Boyd, is any better than Zay Jones? Probably not. Michael Thomas. If you get a healthy Michael Thomas, maybe, but he can't stay healthy. He's out there. So I guess my question is, would you, right now, Chuck, would you go out and maybe sign a couple of modest free agents and still have a lot of money and roll it over? Or would you go out and roll the dice and maybe go out and spend huge dollars you know, on a tackle, you know, or go huge, or huge money on, say, a defensive back. I don't think anyone's really going to get huge money now because it's third wave of free agency.
I was going to say, isn't the big free agency pretty much over? Anybody you're going to get that's really good that you want to spend a whole lot of money on?
I mean,
isn't that done?
I think so. But, you know, look, there's a few guys, I guess, that are still out there. I mean, when you go look at, Andrews Pete, 30 years old, played for the Saints for a handful of years. If you go to spottrack.com, he's expected to get like, you know, I don't know, $70 million a year. I don't know that I paid that for him. But then when I go look at, I mean, defensive line help, to me, interior, they're done. But on the outside, I mean, you go out and look. Ngakoue's still out there. Jan's still out there available. You know? You know who else is out there? Calais Campbell's still there.
Still there? Wow.
You know, Calais, he's like 100 years old. Calais is like 37. He'll be 38 when the season starts. But, you know, he had 6.5 sacks for the Falcons last year. And, you know, outside of the 27.5 that Josh Allen and Trayvon Walker had, the rest of the Jaguars defensive line had 5.5. The entire rest of the line had 5.5. So what would you do? Would you just roll it all over? You know, and next year, this year the cap is 255. Next year it's probably going to be 270. Would you take the majority of that $34 million and roll that over?
Roll it.
Would you spend some of it maybe to redo Trevor's deal now or wait? Or you sign a couple of high-priced guys?
I'd roll it.
Would you sign Trevor right now or no? You're gonna sign
right.
Him. I mean, at some point you're going to
the
sign.
The price
him.
Only gonna go
so
up.
So do you play
but
chicken? Do you sign him now? Maybe get him for a little less or wait.
Well, it's only gonna go up, so you might want to sign him now because the price.
And, you know what? And I might do that too. A lot of, you know, I've kind of done a 180 on that one. Is I was like, hey man, let him make him show it one more year. But I'm convinced he's going to be the guy. I'm not saying I'm convinced he's going to be the generational quarterback that people thought that he would be, but I'm convinced he will be a top at bare minimum he'll be a top 10 to 12 quarterback in this league for a long time. The ceiling is top three, right? Probably somewhere 6 to 8 is realistic. If I know that I've got that guy for a lot of years, go ahead and sign him. Go ahead and sign him, right? That's what I'm going to do. We'll talk about more of that next week. All right, so for Casey Dobson and fine folks here at the Yale House, for Chuck Elliott, I'm Ron Compton. Until next Saturday, see ya.
Peace.